Apes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Max, when did Sam get so cocky?
Since she started doing puzzles.
You know, she's very cocky when she does puzzles.
Yeah, she thinks she is a great puzzler.
She pretty much announced that, and she's got that robe she wears with all the puzzle pieces on it.
Correct.
The puzzler.
Yeah, the puzzler.
It's very puzzling.
It is puzzling.
You know, maybe Sam's doing a puzzle right now.
She very well could be doing a puzzle.
She could be. I don't know if I can. Can I? Yeah, she is.
Yep.
Nope, you got to turn them all upside. Yep.
Ooh.
Take that.
Goodness gracious.
I'm banned. I'm banned 1 year.
You brought the puzzle. You ruined the puzzle.
I brought the pain.
No, you really did.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, Sam. Don't hurt me. Anyways, puzzles.
Puzzles. Fun.
I got a puzzle. You got a puzzle. Who's going to build a puzzle first? Sam.
I'll let you puzzle first.
Oh, you want me to puzzle first?
Yeah, begin the puzzling.
I shall begin with a very puzzling movie.
Ooh.
1984's
White Fire.
White Fire.
You get caught up in the
White Fire.
No, I promise you there's a worse song for this movie.
Crossfire song is epic.
It's so good. Yeah. Somebody needs to do a metal cover of it. Somebody probably has.
Yeah, Steel Panther.
Oh, did they?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, then.
There's a music video and everything.
Oh, well, that's what I'm watching on my way home.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's happening. That would play. See, this is why you ask questions. This is why you get out there and talk to people. I learned a thing I needed.
Crossfire. You remember how. Anyway, White Fire.
White Fire. It does have a song, by the way. I watched this on December 26th. 2024. This is how you calm down after a nice holiday. As you watch
Christmas
White
is over.
Fire.
It's over. Get back to the 80s.
That's right.
The movie's an hour 41. Its genres are regular ass action, regular ass drama, and regular ass thriller. I have gotten feedback that people like it when it's a regular ass genre.
I'm very specific about my regular ass. So you know that I have it in parentheticals when it's a regular ass.
Yeah, you sure do.
Like Nosferatu, a couple episodes back, was a dramatic ass. So,
a dramatic ass
horror film.
Well, you know, there's not a lot of dialogue. You know, it's more about the movements of Nosferatu,
gothic, yeah,
how
exactly.
He moves around with that ass.
That's right. Dramatically. Yeah.
Dramatically.
I mean, it's Kosinski, so yeah. No other way.
There's no other way. No other way. The director is Jean-Marie Pallardy, who recently passed away.
Oh.
Actually, probably around the time I watched this.
That's
sad. Yeah. He's best known for this movie.
Okay.
I did not, Sam.
No, he didn't kill Paul Hogan. He will not kill the director
of
this
film. Paul Hogan's still alive and kicking.
He is.
In fact, probably feeling more... what's a good word?
Viral?
Vivacious than ever.
Vivacious. The vivacious Paul Hogan.
The vivacious Paul Hogan strikes again. You're so happy.
She's really cracking herself up over there.
She's doing...
I'm so good at puzzles.
Don't blame it on the drink.
Vivacious puzzles.
Vivacious puzzles. Don't spit
you
on the puzzle.
You did kill the crocodile, though.
Oh, well... He had a good life. He lived like 200 years or whatever.
That was my first. Jared posted that. Oh, no, Tim. And it was just like, don't worry. This is just a crocodile.
It's so funny.
It was just a crocodile, not Paul Hogan. It's okay, we think. I don't want to see any crocodile bite it, but better than Paul Hogan,
Better than Paul Hogan.
You can't be vivacious if he's dead.
No, not as vivacious, of
Definitely
course.
Definitely not.
Speaking of vivacious, Whitefire, I'm going to tell you what this movie is, I promise. Your cast is Robert Ginty, Fred Williamson
and Fred the Hammer Williamson.
That's the guy.
Fuck yeah.
He's in here. And Belinda Main, who you would best know from being the actress in Crawl.
Oh, okay.
Robert Ginty, first of all, he looks like Chuck Norris and Tom Selleck merged together.
Oh, wow.
He's got a weird look. Like he's like studly, but like not. He's going for different things.
Fugly studly?
Yeah, kind of fugly studly.
Okay.
Not vivacious at all.
Would that be charactery at that point?
Maybe.
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 Okay.
Perhaps.
Pug Fugly?
Maybe.
That's a Mo Sizlak.
Mo Sizlak.
Yeah, that's right.
You see my cow with a rubber daisy?
Anyways, two Russian siblings living in Istanbul, Turkey, who work in the diamond fencing business, scheme to steal the newly discovered legendary diamond White Fire.
The new legendary.
The new legendary.
I see.
Like a magic card.
Yeah.
But their rivals have other plans in mind.
Bum, bum, bum.
This movie is both awesome and weird all the same time.
It sounds like a movie that Fred the Hammer Williamson would be in then.
He's probably the most normal part of this whole movie.
Sounds right.
His whole gimmick is he's just a hitman for hire, and he's just doing the bidding of the big corporate dude who hired him.
That's cool.
That's it.
I like when he plays the straight heavy.
He's very much that here. He's just like, hey, why don't you just shut the hell up and give me what I want?
Yep.
It's a lot of that.
It's perfect for him. He's so good
at it.
He's
so awesome.
He's got such a great swagger. He's
like, I am going to absolutely murder all of you. Just give me what I want and I go away.
Yeah.
And nobody has to get hurt.
Yeah, it's so good.
And they don't.
Him.
And then he
does.
He hurts people. And he's like, so I wish I didn't have to do this, but you just apparently don't listen.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love that. It's the perfect casting for that.
So you have this brother-sister duo. They're both very action stars, right?
Okay.
They work at this place. They're trying to get information about this diamond, or just diamonds in general. They're trying to steal diamonds from their boss. They find the White Fire. This is a legendary thing that has always existed. No one's ever seen it. Part of the reason is it's very radioactive and probably will kill you if you get too close to it. So most people who find it drop dead. But somebody finds it and they live long enough to tell them. And so they know where the diamond is. So they're trying to get the diamond before the company they work for gets it. It's very weird. It's on like a military base. There's guns everywhere. They're outnumbered, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So there's so many levels of villain here. There's like your straight hoods. There's like the corporate villains. There's like people being hired out to like the sexy assassin woman's gonna hire out Fred Williamson to go. And it's like, what? There is a fight scene in this movie that is epic.
Awesome.
It is the brother-sister. First of all, you're getting a brother-sister action duo, which
right.
is fun. They're fighting on a boat at a harbor. She has a chainsaw.
Okay.
And there's other dudes that show up, and they have, like, fish hooks. Big hooks for fish.
Okay.
And they're all swinging them around, and maybe it was him. I don't remember. It's him on the cover of the thing, so... the VHS. Fighting with a chainsaw, and the guys with the hooks are just like, no, fuck this. We got this. They have a fight with fish hooks and a chainsaw, and it is bloody. The
wow.
chainsaw does win.
You'd think so.
Yeah. It's nuts. The fighting in this is awesome.
Way cool.
The plot is meh.
Sure.
The acting is wooden. There's a very weird plot. So what ends up happening is the sister ends up dying.
Okay.
This other woman comes into the picture. She's related. She has a backstory related to the corporate person that is hiring Fred Williamson. They pay her money to give her plastic surgery to look like the sister so that she can go and pretend to be the sister and use her clearances to help get the diamond out.
Wow.
Super convoluted.
Yes.
The thing that's weird about it is he falls in love with her, and so it looks like he's trying to bang his sister the whole rest of the movie.
That is weird.
Yes. Bizarre, because it's like he's trying to stay undercover and like trying to not make it super obvious that this is what they're doing.
Right.
Then why are you all of a sudden trying to bang your sister?
Yeah, that's wild.
It's weird. And it's weird because she's like, we can't do this. It looks like this. And he's like, I don't give a shit.
Goodness.
He's like, I love you. And it's like charming and nice, but also gross and weird.
Yeah.
It makes the rest of the movie very fucking bizarre.
Yeah. Holy cow.
But it all leads to everybody getting close to the diamond and a huge fight scene. And there's bulldozers and just like 50, 60 people on a set just killing each other. It is amazing.
Cool.
This is a very good B movie.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Fair enough.
That's what we got here with White Fire. I hope everybody enjoyed it. My notes are chainsaw battle, Ginty, how he looked. When he was young, actually, a cool thing, he played with several rock bands. He wanted to be a musician and then transitioned into acting.
Okay.
He played for Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Carlos Santana, and John Lee Hooker.
Holy shit.
It doesn't say a specific instrument, so maybe he was a jack of all trades. I just thought that was a weird fact.
That is a weird fact.
You know, because he's probably like 20 or so when that's over, and he's like, I already did everything.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll just act.
Yeah, now I'll do this.
IMDb, give this a 4.7.
Okay.
Rotten Tomato Critics, there's two scores in, not enough for an actual score. The audience score at Rotten Tomatoes, 100 plus, give it 44%.
Okay.
No wife score. I give it a 6. I thought this movie was exactly as advertised. It was different than other things I saw and largely was fun. There is a song. It is the theme song. They say White Fire 1,000 times in the song.
Okay.
And they will play it a lot.
Fair enough.
And I wanted to dock it points, but it really wasn't fair.
Took off points for how many times the White Fire song came on.
Maybe 20 minutes worth of this movie. I'm not joking. It's, and there is a slow version of it when they're sad.
Oh, boy.
Yes. White Fire. In a sad affair. It's got great lyrics. Go look it up. Anyways, what you got?
I have a movie from 2024.
Oh, yeah?
This movie is called Carry On.
Carry On.
Carry On.
You wayward son, you.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I just realized something. This is our 300th episode.
Holy cow, we made it.
All right, that's it. Let's not acknowledge it ever again.
300 episodes. 300 times we've sat down to do this.
Well, 300 plus, we've had specials.
Right, specials. And back in the day, we each used to do two movies. So, holy cow, that's
in
a lot
the same
of movies.
Amount of time. Yeah.
It's a lot of movies. But I think it speaks to kind of us growing and really making a little bit more nuanced note-taking and more specific critiquing of the movie. I like this format a little bit better because it just feels a little less rushed.
Yes, I agree.
Sometimes it's tough, right? Like, sometimes you run into Shark Side of the Moon and you have nothing to say.
Nothing good.
And then other times it's just you have a lot to say because there's a dense movie or there's some particular point you really want to dive into. And it's just like, shit, I can't do this and another movie really responsibly. So I like that we get approximately 10 minutes to talk about a movie.
And make our Puzzlord jokes.
Puzzlord.
Puzzlord.
I am Puzzlord.
Anyways, are you good over there, Puzzlord?
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
What you got? I watched this on 12/20/2024. I'll carry on. Okay. It is 1 hour, 59 minutes. It is an action of the regular ass variety.
Sure.
Directed by, oh boy.
Oh yes.
Yomé Collet-Serrat.
You may collect, Sarah.
Jomé? It feels French.
Okay.
Oh. Jomé Collet-Serrat. How's that for Americanizing it?
I want to tell you to stop, and I can confirm it's French. But no, please keep going and do it again.
Jomé.
No, never mind. Just talk about the movie.
Okay. Your cast is Taron Egerton, Jason Bateman, Sophia Carson.
Okay.
Writer on this film, a fellow named T.J. Fixman.
The Fixman.
Great name.
Yeah.
Also was a video game writer. Did a bunch of the Ratchet and Clank video games.
Was he Fix-It Felix?
He was not Fix-It Felix, Jr.
Missed opportunity, but Ratchet and Clank, very good.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah.
Neat to see somebody who transitioned from video game writing into feature film writing.
That's right.
Yeah. Your summary for this one is a mysterious traveler blackmails a young TSA agent into letting a dangerous package slip through security and onto a Christmas Eve flight.
Oh, no. Yeah. Christmas is no.
Yeah, actually, it's like Christmas is here and it kind of works a little bit in this movie's favor.
Okay.
Like they're using it a little bit more than just like a throwaway contrast piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's close.
Okay.
But better. I think it's enough to warrant being Christmas. Like, it's not just like we're making it a Christmas movie so more people watch it.
Right.
Which I could, if somebody really pushed and was like, no, here's a diatribe of why, I wouldn't say you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see enough meat on the bone here for it to not just be like, and they decided to make it at Christmas because, like, for no good reason.
Right.
It works here. When I was watching this movie, the lead character is played by Taron Egerton. I did not know that.
Oh.
And I really like Taron Egerton. I think he's great in Rocket Man. I think he's awesome in The Dark Crystal. He does like a bunch of really cool stuff. And I guess I've never seen him without like a ton of makeup on or something, or like glasses, or just, it's just him, normal ass looking Taron Egerton apparently.
Didn't know
it was him. So I'm watching this movie and the first like 15 minutes of the movie is him. It's setting up him and his girlfriend. They're in a place where their relationship's like not unstable, but like it's a little bit frayed at the moment. Like there's some tension, like he's not really going anywhere in life career wise. She's trying to gently nudge him into going, like, you always want to be a policeman, why don't you try reapplying to the police academy, that kind of stuff. And it is like the most wooden act. Like, it wasn't that they did a bad job, it's just they had zero chemistry together. Like, zero chemistry. I'm like, these actors, like, they don't sell this at all. Then at the end of the movie, Taron Egerton's name came up. I'm like, wait, who the hell was he?
And the main
and
character.
I was like, you gotta be fucking shitting me. Like, he was like, oh, I hated his performance for the first 20 minutes of this movie.
Honey, you should become a police officer. I love banging police officers.
It's like she was pregnant. Yeah, they also had to establish she's pregnant. She also, so they both work at the airport. He works at TSA. She works as a like concierge for one of the airlines.
Sure.
So it was like this, it works, and they're both, and she's like, I know you're just doing the TSA thing kind of as a time aspire and you're not really interested in, like, you know, career tracking it. You said, why don't you just, so it was just kind of like, I don't care. And like, I don't buy them together at all. And then at the end, when his name came, I'm like, wait a second, he's the main character. Holy shit.
That's wild when that happens.
Yeah. I was just like, it's rare I bag on an actor's performance. Like the one thing in movies I tend to, in my reviews, I tend to not bag on unless it's like really noticeably bad. And I was surprised at the lack of chemistry between these two in the early parts of the movie. So I'm curious kind of how they filmed this.
Okay.
Just to see, like, was it when they first met? Had they actually auditioned together? Like, how did that all work? Like, I'm just curious because I really felt like it was very wooden, like unusually so.
Sure.
But the plot is relatively formulaic. So you have, what's cool is Jason Bateman's the bad guy.
That does sound good.
Love it when he gets to chew the scenery.
Yeah, that sounds good.
So he plays this mysterious character who, like, they have this whole concept set up to sneak what is essentially like a nerve gas onto a flight because they're trying to kill a politician.
Okay.
So they're just going to gas the whole plane and let it crash and blow up so nobody knows what happened. Mysterious plane crash. In order to do that, they have to let a bag that would get flagged through TSA get through TSA. And so he ends up deciding, you know what? I'm going to impress the girlfriend. I'm going to try to make a career. So he like talks to his superior, like, I want to try to move up. I know I haven't been great. And so there's a moment where a buddy of his swaps and he's like, let him take the, you know, this computer scanner for the day and let's see how he does.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they're like, oh shit, he screwed up our plans. Who's this dude? So they start doing all this looking, like you see all these people running all these computer searches on this guy from this mysterious location. And they're like pulling up all this information about him, his girlfriend, friend's name and all this data so they can like essentially use it to blackmail him. So they call him and they're like, you need to get this through. If you don't get this through, we're going to start killing her. We know she's pregnant, like all this stuff. And he's just like, oh fuck, what do I do? And so he's like, I don't know. Like he wants to do the right thing. He can't. And it escalates and it escalates and it escalates. It builds tension pretty well. They have a pretty good back and forth with each other. And it turns into like pretty reasonable, like, you know, you've seen this action movie before.
Sure.
It's fun. It's not bad or anything. It was fine. The backdrop works. It's just not as, it could have done a little bit more contrast or put Christmas a little bit further up, but it also felt like they didn't necessarily want to do that too much and cheapen it. So it was like kind of this back and forth. It worked enough. I wouldn't call this a Christmas movie really by any stretch other than it takes place on Christmas Eve.
Sure.
It doesn't need to be Christmas. It just kind of gave them a convenient time to release the movie, it felt like. So I wouldn't say it was a negative, but it also didn't work to elevate the film in any meaningful way. It's kind of like, okay, and it's Christmas Eve, sure.
Feels like this movie's a, all right, it happened.
Yeah, it was fine. I put, as a note, on the whole, pretty easy to forget.
Dang.
Felt like an action movie.
On a plane.
Yeah. I was surprised to see Taron Egerton.
Yeah, I bet you were.
I was. IMDb gave this a 6.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critics, 102 critics gave it 87% somehow.
What?
So I'm going to take a moment.
Okay.
And I'm going to complain about Rotten Tomatoes.
Let's do it.
So they've started adding, and I don't know if you've run into this yet, a verification number. So there are verified critics and there are verified viewers.
Yeah.
And it will display those numbers on Rotten Tomatoes. So if you're not careful, you won't get a true critics and audience score because they will show you the verified, certified versions of certified for the actual critics and verified for the audience members.
Right.
And it'll heavily skew the numbers on some of these movies. So I had to do my diligence and be like, what the hell's going on? How did only like 105 people watch this movie?
Sure.
And then so I clicked on it and realized like, oh, there's this like conflated number that they put on there now to make it look a little better if the movie, I guess, you know, slides them a couple Rotten Tomato bucks or whatever it may be.
Tomato bucks.
Tomato bucks. So I wasn't happy with that Rotten Tomatoes. Shame.
Shame.
So all the critics on Rotten Tomatoes, regardless of whether they were certified or not, 102 of them gave it 87% somehow. The audience of 2,500 plus audience members, not verified in any way, 51%.
I believe that more.
Yep. Sam gave this an 8 out of 10 because she was given some Rotten Tomato bucks.
Ooh, what do you spend them on? Tomatoes?
I gave this a 6 out of 10.
Okay.
It was not unenjoyable in any way. Like it was fine. It was literally legitimately regular ass like action thriller. Like it just, okay. I can't really do much to sell it other than just like, if you want something that's like kind of tense and it'll keep you satiated for an hour and 59, you could do worse.
Wow. Yeah. That's wild. It's hard to make an action on a plane anymore.
Action plane. It was just, well, it's even worse. It was in the fucking line to get on the plane.
Oh, the line to get on the plane.
Yeah, it's the line to get on the plane.
Ugh. Bye, everybody.